You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? It's good. Everybody's awake, up early. Sun got everybody up. Real quick, I need Bo and Zach. Come on up here for a second. Give these out. Give one to everybody. So we have these invitations, right? We only got 500, so that literally means in our church that if everybody gives out two of these, the whole box will be gone. So we're almost out of these. I want you to invite somebody out for Easter Sunday, okay? You'll be amazed if you just invite somebody, they will come. And so this is a really easy, simple way. It's got the date and time. You can invite them out to come and sit with you on Easter at a place where they're going to hear the truth, where they're going to hear the gospel, where they're going to hear the good news, whether they're saved or not. And so encourage and invite people to be here. And then also, don't forget, the 18th, April 18th, we are having our Good Friday service. It is going to be at 6 o'clock that night. Good Friday service. We are going to, take the Lord's Supper that night. We're going to really reflect and kind of walk through what Jesus walked through that night. So plan to be here, especially if we say we're believers. We ought to be here. We ought to be reminded of that as He gives His life for us. And then, of course, Easter Sunday. Thank you. We got a couple extra if anybody wants some more. And there's more on the table out there on the right-hand side. Please grab them. And if you don't plan on giving that out, put it back on the table, but plan to give it out. And so plan, obviously, to be here for Easter Sunday. There will be no evening service or no evening small group that night. We know a lot of people are traveling, spending time with their families, but do plan to be here for both the 9 and 11 o'clock service. And I would probably say the 9 is going to have a little less people than the 11. We are going to put the chairs back out down the sides and in the back. So I think we can fit about 170, 175 chairs. So we'll have it. It will be a little full. Just plan to be here early. We'll even probably have the downstairs overflow set up with the big TV downstairs just in case. But just plan to be here. Get here early. I hear we're going to have lots of good cookies. At least that's what spring tells me. So looking forward to that. So open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 yet another week past this week. We've had a lot of stuff in here, and hopefully today as we walk through just a few more verses, we'll be able to just grab some more content and walk through this. But we're kind of continuing that wisdom's benefits, ways, and warnings continued. So far in this chapter, we've talked about Clint 3 weeks ago, talked about, you know, just the value of a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, your name matters. Especially one thing I've learned is when I came here to a small little town, people know you and what you stand for. In Baltimore, you could get away with just kind of blending in, but here, no, people know you and they know what you stand for. We talked about the value of a good name, the benefit of the house of mourning. The benefit of the house of mourning. But then I like that point that Clint brought up. The good old days are right now, not yesterday. I love that. You know, we often look back to the good old. No, these are the good old days right here, right now. Stop looking back. Take advantage of the time that you have. That was week one. But then week two in chapter 7, we talked last week about wisdom better than wealth. Wisdom is better than wealth. Remember, wisdom can keep you from trouble. Yes, money might be able to get you out of trouble, but wisdom will keep you out of trouble. And then wisdom gives clarity to our questions. You know, as we walk through life, sometimes we have a lot of questions. We ask a lot of whys, but God's wisdom gives us clarity. But today, week three, we're looking at the effects of the lack of wisdom, the strength of godly wisdom, and the prudence we can gain from wisdom. And I was going to finish the chapter, but next week, I feel compelled to take a little bit of time in these last few verses, and we're going to look at the marks of a virtuous woman. The marks of a virtuous woman, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 31, as Solomon kind of alludes to, hey, who can find a virtuous woman, right? One among 1,000 have I not found. So we're going to kind of dive into that next week and look at it from a biblical perspective, the marks, the characteristics of a virtuous woman. So let's pray, and we're going to dive right in today. Father, I love you, and I thank you so much for the sunshine. Lord God, it's amazing just the difference a day can make. Last week, icy, snowy, cloudy, Lord, but above the clouds, the sun is always there, Lord. We know no matter how difficult life may be, that you're always there, even though sometimes it might seem difficult to see you, Lord. I pray today that we would clearly see your word, that you would speak to us, that you would help me not to muddy it up or mess it up, Lord God, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of thy law. And we know that you work in such unique ways, Lord God, that one verse can spur another verse into our minds through the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help, Lord, us to be attentive to your word, that you would help us to be focused on your word, put aside distractions, all of those things today, that we would be able to look into the perfect law of liberty today. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Point number one, if you want to write it down, the effects of a lack of wisdom, the effects of a lack of wisdom. And these next two verses that we're going to look at, they're kind of unique, but it speaks to two different things. I think the first thing that we're going to look at here is the effect of a lack of wisdom. You can become double-minded. Look at verse number 16. It says, "Be not righteous overmuch," and the wording here is a little different. Basically, he's saying, don't be overly righteous. Don't be overly righteous, or at least that's what he's mentioning here. But it says, neither make thyself overwise. Don't be too wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? On the flip side, now he says, be not overly wicked or over much wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Be righteous, just not too righteous. I literally have had people that have gotten saved, and their family see such a transformation in their loved one. And I've literally had people say, oh, well, I wanted his life to be changed, and I wanted him to get clean, and but I didn't want him to have that much of Jesus. You know, he was just, man, all in. And here you kind of walk away scratching your head. Is the Bible telling us to be a righteous but just not too righteous? Is the Bible telling us you can be a little bad, just not too bad? No, that's not what it's telling us. James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That lack of wisdom, that lack of understanding here, that phrase here is used, meaning not overly righteous or overly wicked. But God never, never tells us to be double-minded, but he does tell us to be singular focused. God never says it's okay to have a little sin in your life and to just do a little good in your life. No, that's never what Scripture tells us. In fact, Matthew tells us in 6:22 through 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples, that Sermon on the Mount, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Not double-minded, but singular focus. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Not living a double-minded life. You're going to go towards one, or you're going to go towards the other. One of the effects of wisdom is it can lead to double-mindedness. A lack of wisdom in our life allows a double-minded mentality to creep in and to corrupt and to pervert our minds. Revelations 3:15 says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're not on fire for the Lord. But you're also kind of, you know, not really passionate about it either. You kind of got one foot in the world and you kind of got one foot in the church and you're kind of hot and you're kind of cold. You know, you come to church on Sunday, but you have no real relationship with him outside of Sunday, you know. And here it says, I know thy works, right? That thou art neither cold nor hot. In fact, God would say here to this church at Laodicea, I would that thou wert cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other, not living in both realms. He says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, because you're double-minded, because you're trying to live in both spaces, he says, hey, I hate it so much, I'll spew you out of my mouth. A vomit chunk. Not a good picture. It doesn't sound like God wants us to be a little righteous and a little wicked, but he doesn't want us to be, he wants us to be one or the other, right? And he wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be righteous, not double-minded. And here's a question to ask yourself, right? When Solomon says there, he says, don't be overly righteous. How can a person be too righteous? What do you think about that question for a second? How can a person be too righteous? Is God telling us, hey, it's okay, you don't have to be too righteous? No, I think what he's alluding to here also, is when it's all for show. That's the only way somebody can be overly righteous or overly wise. Look at me, how wise I am. Look at me, how righteous I am, when it's all for show. And then it's not righteousness. It's self-righteousness, which is in and of itself pride, which is wickedness. Jesus talks to the Pharisees about this point in Matthew chapter 23, because on the outside, man, they were overly righteous. But on the inside, man, they look nothing like the outside. On the outside, man, they, for all appearances' sake, oh, man, they look good. But on the inside, where God saw, they were filthy. They were not righteous. It says, but all their works they did to be seen of men. They made broad their philanthropies and enlarged the borders of their garments and loved the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. These were the guys that dressed the part, looked the part, and men had their Bible just tucked under their arm, just so. They appeared righteous on the outside. They were going to great extents so that people would look at them on the outside. That's how a person, I always say this, I want to be more righteous behind closed doors than people perceive me to be in public. Because there's only one person really that we should be striving to be righteous for, and it's not the person across from you. It's for him. It goes on to say, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes and mints and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Back in the day, and it's funny because when I went to, when me and my wife went to a church while we were away, that's how they did their offering. They had a box up front, and if you wanted to give the offering, when they collected the offering, you had to get out of your seat and come up and drop it in. I thought, that's in line with Scripture. There's nothing wrong with it, you know. But here in the context, a lot of these people were coming up with their bag fulls of money, and they were like, hey, church, look at me as I go up here and put all this money into the offering plate and all these gold coins. Chink, 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 chink. They were doing it all for show. So people could, he looks really right. Look at that money. But Jesus said, you've omitted love. You've omitted mercy. You've omitted judgment. You look good on the outside, but you're forgetting what matters most on the inside. Overly righteous, trying to make yourself look good on the outside. It says, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the others undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You're so quick to hold on to the smallest of thing while in the meantime you're like chomping and eating literally a whole entire camel. I mean, I love the picture here. You know, a little gnat, you know, you ever catch one in your throat, you open your mouth, like you take a deep breath, you're like, and you swallow that, you strain at that small thing, but yet on the flip side, you're swallowing a whole entire camel. Hey, overly righteous on the outside, not righteous hardly at all on the inside. A woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter so that people see me. But they don't see what God sees, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! I'd hate to have been the target of that message back in the day, right? Hypocrites, for ye are likened unto whited sepulchres, right? Which did indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all unrighteousness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous. You look the part. You're going through such great lengths to be overly righteous on the outside, but on the inside, listen, God knows. God knows. If there's one thing I could say, stop faking it. Stop faking it. This is not a perfect church. A church is a hospital for sick people, not a museum for statues and so perceived holy people. We're holy people made holy by Him, but we're all broken. We all have issues. We all have struggles. God has connected us and put us in the body for a reason. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquities. We see the effect of a lack of wisdom. You can become double-minded, but also here, I believe it speaks to a life out of balance. A life out of balance. Your life can become out of balance. We can tend towards extremes in our life. You ever met somebody that's extreme in the wrong way? Verse 16, be not righteous over much. Here, this is the one side. The other side is be not over much wicked. A lack of godly wisdom is one in one's life will lead to unhealthy extremes. See, godly wisdom keeps balance in our life. Godly wisdom helps us identify when things are out of balance in our life. And maybe it is, I'm going through such great lengths to have that perceived righteousness on the outside, but the Holy Spirit and godly wisdom would say, hey, why don't you deal with your heart first? And here, case in point, if all you do is pray but don't read your Bible, godly wisdom tells us your life and my life is indeed out of balance. The Bible says, let not the word of God depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If the only time you pray and walk with the Lord is at church on Sunday, your life is out of balance. Wisdom tells us, if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we will want to spend time with Him daily. See, godly wisdom identifies and helps us see the things in our life. Hey, maybe it's the hobbies are taking control. Maybe it's pride taking control. Maybe it's a love of money. Wisdom will help. Godly wisdom will help us to identify those things. Another thing, a lack of wisdom in one's life can also lead to binging, which is not balance. You ever met? Okay. I read my Bible last week. Man, I read 10 chapters in one day. That would be good, right? But then for the next 5 days, I don't read anything. You see where I'm going with this? It would be better for you to read one chapter of the Bible a day and pray for 5 minutes a day than to binge and be out of balance in your life. Does anybody see that? Grasping that? There's a balance, and if we're not careful, a lack of wisdom can not only lend to, a life out of balance. We're tending towards extremes that are wrong or extremes not in God's eyes. God says, hey, love me with all your heart. That's godly wisdom. That's not an extreme in God's eyes. He's worthy of that. And so we see and we understand that. And here's the reality. We are all prone to imbalance in this world. Every single one of us are prone to get out of balance in our life. That's why we need godly wisdom. That's why we need God's word to remind us how we're supposed to love our wives and how our wives are supposed to reverence their husbands and how our children are supposed to obey the Lord and how we as employees are supposed to live towards and serve towards our employers. And man, on and on and on. It's all here, and we need God's word to help us have that balance. We need that wisdom. See, wisdom tells us balance is good, and God loves a balanced life. Work is good, would we all agree? The Bible says that we should work, right? Let me get some hands. Work is good, we all agree, right? All right, let's try that one more time. Here we go. Work is good, right? All right, yeah, because the Bible tells us we ought to work, but too much work is bad. When it takes us from our family, when we're working, when we should be with our family, when food is good, right? Food is good, right? All right. I was just checking, making sure we're all good. But too much of it is unhealthy. We need to have balance in our life. Proverbs 16:11 says, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's." The Lord is balanced in his justice, in his judgment, in his love. He is balanced. And it says, all the weights of the bags are his. It says in Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And I understand that part of that scale, it's kind of pretending for pretense. It's kind of the person that's pretending to be righteous, but on the inside, man, they got a lot of crap going on, and they're hiding and running from the reality of things. But here it says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But it says, but a just weight is his delight. God loves a balanced life. One of my honest prayers is, God, help me to get things right in my life that are out of balance. Because I'll be straight up, I'm prone to sometimes extremes. And so I have to, and they're not per se God's extremes, they're Billy's extremes. So I have to make sure, God, help me to have balance in this area of my life. I'm the guy that, sit down and eat a whole box of Oreo cookies, right? Anybody else here relating with that bad extreme? Understanding, when we seek godly wisdom, it brings godly balance into our life. Where do we find godly wisdom? Right here. We ought to every day be getting up. I haven't said it in a minute, but let me say it again. If you're not walking with the Lord, but the only thing you're doing is coming to church on Sunday, listen, that's not a Christian. A Christian is walking with Christ, getting to know him, letting his light, shine through each one of us. I pray and hope that you go home every single day and walk with the Lord. When we seek godly wisdom, it brings godly balance into our life. Godly wisdom is found in his word. Verse 18 says, "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this, withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." Proverbs to say the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. So we see, number one, the effect of the lack of wisdom. Number two, the strength of godly wisdom. The strength of godly wisdom. The Bible says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I love that verse, right? He that winneth souls is wise. Look at verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in a city. Verse 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If you had 10 of the strongest guys on one side, and you had one wise man, godly wise man. You know, I think about MacGyver. You know, he could take a piece of bubble gum and a wrapper and a clothespin, and he could, like, you know, get out of anything, get out of anywhere, right? He was wise. That's not the wisdom that's being spoken about. It's godly wisdom. It's godly wisdom here. And I like the pretense of that next verse, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It almost seems like the two verses are separated, but they're right there. They're connected. They're intertwined. Solomon points out that wisdom is stronger than physical might or strength. Several different stories in Scripture talk about how a poor, wise man saved a city by his wisdom, but he was soon forgotten. But that wisdom spared that city. In verse 20, however, he points out that there is no physical strength a man can have over sin in his flesh. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. A person is not saved because they can overpower sin by their own strength. We understand there is no one that is good, no matter how hard they might try to be good in their own strength. Scripture says there is not one that is just. There is not one that is righteous. See, Jesus in his wisdom took on all the power of sin and death, not as a roaring lion, but as a helpless lamb. Some would say weakness. Weakness. Jesus didn't conquer death and sin by a show of force, but instead a submissive surrender. He was made victor over sin and death, not just because he was stronger, but because he was wiser. A person is saved when they receive the truth of wisdom, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They are not saved because they can muster up and pull themselves up by their bootstraps, but they are saved and made righteous when they receive the wisdom that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our fleshly pride will tell us we can fight and conquer sin in our own power, but godly wisdom reminds us that we cannot. Me and you are no match. You know, whether you're saved and you're trying to live in the flesh like the Galatians, Paul would say, oh, foolish Galatians, how are you saved by the Spirit, but then you think you're going to be made righteous by the works of the flesh, pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps, not depending on God, or the same thing for a person that's trying to work their way into heaven. You are not strong enough. You are, and I am not strong enough. So we see the effects of the lack of wisdom, the strength of godly wisdom, and then thirdly and lastly, the prudence we can gain from wisdom. The prudence that we can gain from wisdom. Here, Solomon points out, wisdom can save us from self-inflicted anxiety and stress. Has anybody ever inflicted anxiety and stress upon yourself? All right, there's a few of us. All two of us. look at verse number 21. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken. Notice all the words that are spoken. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others also. You know, I wonder if Solomon's sitting there one day and he hears one of his servants talking, overhearing one of his servants talking negatively or saying negative things about him and getting anxious and getting stressed. See, wisdom reminds us we don't need to hear every word that's spoken, and we probably don't want to. We don't need to hear every word that's spoken, and we probably don't want to. Don't be someone who is always listening to others' conversations. You ever met somebody like that? Don't be someone who has to be in every conversation. Don't be someone who has to be in the know about everything. Because chances are that if you do, you're going to hear something you wish you didn't hear. And it's going to stress you out. And Solomon's saying, hey, take it from me. Learn from me. Don't do this to yourself. Don't be so quick to, man, what are they talking? Are they talking about it? Oh, are they thinking? You know, and Solomon's kind of alluding to this here, that it will stress you out, make you anxious, all because you were eavesdropping or in a conversation that maybe you shouldn't have been in the first place. Wisdom also teaches us not to take everything that we hear to heart that people say about us, because we need to realize people mess up and say things they wish they could take back too. You know, hey, you know, sometimes we're so ready to take people to task. Well, maybe they had a bad day, and you know what? They did say some things. I'll be the first to admit, I wish I could keep my mouth shut all the time. And there's sometimes, man, I wish I could just take words back in and never have let them out. But wisdom teaches us not to take everything to heart that people say, because we realize people mess up just like we do. And I love how Solomon puts here in verse 22, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others or has said things about other people. But yet you're going to take somebody else to task for what they said about you. Also speaks to forgiveness. Solomon says, before you take someone to task for the words they have spoken about you, remember God has seen and heard the words that you yourself have negatively spoken of others. Be careful, and show mercy. Be careful and show mercy. What can we apply? I think there's a lot of different things that we can apply. It's a unique passage with some unique thoughts in it. But I guess a couple questions that I would ask you is, how are you doing in the area of double-mindedness? How are you doing in the area of balance? Be honest with yourself. Have you ever prayed and asked God to show you where your life may be out of balance? Inviting Him in to speak into your life. Have you ever opened God's Word, right? Remember, James chapter 1, looking into the perfect law of liberty. It's like a mirror that we look into and we see. And the mirror of God's Word shows us when things are out of place, when things are out of balance in our life. How are we doing in the area of being a double-minded? How are we doing in the area of being out of balance in our life? Is our life balanced or out of balance? Have you been double-minded lately? Listen, the answer is getting back to God's Word, getting back to God's wisdom. What about this? Are you depending on your strength or God's wisdom? You know, when it says wisdom is better than 10 mighty men, I can't tell you how many Christians I know that continue to try to live the Christian life in their own strength without surrendering to God's wisdom. They're trying to do it in their own power and in their own strength. They're trying to muster it up to man, I'm going to live righteous. Yes, I'm saved by grace, but man, I'm going to do this. Listen, the best thing we can do is relinquish our will to God's will, pick up His wisdom, walk in His ways. Are you trying to save your own soul by your own strength? If you're here today, can I say to you that you cannot, no matter how good you may try to be, no matter how much you come to church or the money you might give to the church or how you serve or how you help the community or all of those things, none of those things can save you. What are you trying to, are you trying to work your way into heaven? Are you trying to empower your way into heaven? You can't do that. When you're hearing something negative or untrue spoken about you, has anybody ever heard something negative or something untrue ever spoken about you? Raise your hand. Man, I got a lot of participation that time. Solomon say, learn not to take it to heart. Don't let it trip you up. Don't let it send you into a mental spiral. Don't let it cause you to be anxious and stressed. People mess up. People, say things. And be gracious to those who spoke it. Isn't that what Jesus says? To him that would smite you on the one cheek, turn to him the other also. To him that would curse you, what are we supposed to do? Pray for them? And so as we kind of look over these things today with heads bowed, eyes closed, my wife's going to come to the piano. I don't know how God spoke to you, but I will say this. There's nothing wrong with God's word. It's perfect. It's pure. You know, I walk away from this saying, God, show me, is there something in my life out of balance? Is there something in my life that, you know, I'm trying to work through in my own strength, not inviting your strength through your wisdom? Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to work your way into heaven. The Lord would say, it's never going to work. There's not a just man upon the earth. But if you receive God's wisdom, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Maybe you keep running into a brick wall in your Christian life. Yes, you're saved, but you can't get past this continual hurdle. You know, the Lord says, without me, ye can do nothing. Maybe you've been trying to do whatever you're trying to do without the Lord, and he's just continuing allowing you to hit that brick wall until you invite him in, till you receive his wisdom and work through his strength, because your strength isn't going to do it. Maybe you've been holding a grudge because somebody said something about you, or you overheard something and somebody doesn't know that you overheard it. Man, and you've just been nonstop focused on that thing. Solomon would say, listen, let that thing go. Maybe you're one to listen into every conversation and to want to know everything, and then you hear those things and you're like, man, I wish I would have never heard them, because now I can't stop thinking about them. They haven't helped me. They've hurt me. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but as the worship team comes, pray those things in. Ask God to give you guidance and direction as we pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord, and I am grateful for, Lord, your truth. Lord, I'm grateful for, Lord God, your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak far past the time of 12 o'clock, that your word would go home in our hearts, Lord God, and that they would not return void, that you would do wonderful things, and that you would help us to perceive and receive wisdom, Lord God, and Father, help us, Lord, as we truly can do nothing without you, Lord. Instruct us in the path of life. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we ask all of these things. Amen.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.